In 5, 4, 3, 2.
I'm Joe Wade Formicola, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini.
Real name, no gimmicks.
On 750 AM, KOAL.
So I came to the grave. Real name, no gimmicks.
That's why I ain't got no.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, KOAL, 107.3 FM, 750 AM. The aftermath of the NFL draft. Things are starting to settle down just a little bit. And now you've had an opportunity to look at some of the selections that your favorite team made. And I tell this to every fan, I guarantee within 3 years, there is a player selected by your team that you will hate within the next 3 years. Guaranteed, it's just the way it works. Let's talk about some of the selections and some of the aftermath of the NFL draft with our next guest. He's kind enough to join us on the show regularly. We have Brian Mejia, based out of Los Angeles, our Drive Time Sports NFL insider. Brian, it's been a while, but it is great to get you back on. Thank you.
Oh, yeah, it's been crazy. It's been a crazy week in the NFL and, you know, everywhere here in Los Angeles with two teams drafting out of here. But I definitely think that it was a good draft. It was an entertaining draft. And, you know, the NFL gives you its best at this time of the year, and it beat up the NBA in ratings, of course.
Yeah, the NFL draft has really become a spectacle, and I think the NFL has done a good job of embracing that. I mean, if you just watch rounds 2 through 7, you see the nuances that they've added to it. You know, the excitement that they've added to it, letting people come up and announce the pick. You saw the festival in Philadelphia. The way the fans reacted to that, it was insane. It was like a concert. It was like Coachella. I think that's a fair comparison. Somebody said that on Twitter. The NFL turned the draft into Coachella, unlike anything I've ever seen, Brian.
It was awesome, wasn't it? I feel like Philadelphia should get another nod, be a host city, maybe in the next year, maybe or two if we don't get it here in Los Angeles. But Philadelphia did an awesome job in you know, hosting the draft, and I think they should get it back as soon as possible.
Let's start by talking about some of the selections. Now, earlier, the NFL came out and they said that the league would not be able to discipline Gerrion Conley, the 24th overall pick by the Oakland Raiders, based on the fact that he had gotten in trouble before he was under investigation before his association with the NFL. Brian, this is a hot topic. It's something that has been discussed. There were a lot of individuals with questionable backgrounds selected in this draft. A lot of them. Not just Gerrion Conley. I think that Conley is getting the majority of the attention here based on the fact that he went in the first round. But you have DeeDee Westbrook. You have Joe Mixon. You have a lot of these guys who have questionable backgrounds at the moment. Give me your take on these guys being selected and on if you would stay away from somebody with this kind of character if you're an NFL team. I want your take on it.
I think I draw the line with domestic violence in terms of Joe Mixon, but then again, the kid did it a couple years ago, and I think everybody deserves a second chance.
Sure.
You know, I'm one of those people that believes in second chances. The NFL is a league that doesn't tolerate those things if you're in their club already. Now, like they said, and you know, technically they are right when they say Gerrion Conley isn't going to serve any suspension or any, you know, nothing's going to happen to him. He's going to be able to come into the National Football League as a drafted player because he wasn't part of an NFL team. He was not part of the NFL when this incident happened. Now, is it fair? Well, technically it is. Is it right? Well, I mean, they always try to put their foot down on anything that they can control in terms of the NFL, and this is something that they feel that happened before that Gerrion came into the league, and obviously it did. But, you know, it's definitely something that we should look at a little harder in terms of, you know, who actually watches the NFL in terms of, you know, women, children, you know, men of all ages, anything. I think everybody should take a look at this and see there's something wrong in the system here. I mean, if you're going to preach, you know, Roger Goodell and the NFL, they're going to preach that, you know, no to domestic violence, no to anything like that. I think they should have a thorough investigation, and maybe they should have put these guys on the NFI list. You know, hey, they're going to start their NFL career, but they're on the NFI list to start. Maybe it would have, you know, put their draft stock down or whatnot. You know, but there's just so many things that are happening right now in terms of these players coming out of college. They're very highly ranked players, and you know, it's something that I feel that, you know, they really have to regulate a little better. But at the same time, like I said, the technicality is that these guys are, you know, they're coming into the NFL with a fresh start, and they do deserve a second chance.
No, I agree with that, and I do believe that Gary and Conley's situation is a little bit different. You are innocent until proven guilty. And I'm a firm believer on that in the Gary and Conley situation. However, speaking of the pick, the Raiders are in, and I know you follow the Raiders extremely close, so I'm going to get your opinion on this. I view it as if the Raiders are extremely close. They're extremely close to giving New England a run for their money and getting a trip to the Super Bowl. With that 24th pick, there were safer options available for a team that is this close. And I think a mishap in the first round of this draft could set this team back for what they're ultimately trying to accomplish. With that being said, I would not have gone with Gary and Conley. I would have went with Reuben Foster. I know there's some question marks there as well. Because of that, Brian, and the Raiders have done well in the draft, but I think a lot has gone their way in the draft. Reggie McKenzie's job, I believe, may just be tied to Gary and Conley. I really think that if things go haywire with this pick, Mark Davis has the avenue. He has the ability to sit back and say, you know what? This was your call. It's now your mess. And he's tied to Gary and Conley.
Exactly. And Mark Davis signed off on the pick. He's the one that, you know, was, that said we should go all defense in the draft. And they did just that, except for one pick. But I agree with you. I think he is tied to Gary and Connolly now, and his job should be on the line because, you know, you have a window to win a Super Bowl. This looks like a team that can compete with the New England Patriots for the AFC title. And it looks like this is the team that's going to be doing that this year. I feel like, you know, with adding Marshawn and, you know, having a good draft. I know Gary and is, you know, if he didn't have these off-field issues, he probably wouldn't have been at 24.
No, he wouldn't have.
Probably would have gotten in the top 15.
Sure.
So, you know, having him, you know, makes your football team a lot better, but there's always that chance that you're not going to have him because of the allegations that are going on. So, you know, if everything clears out, then Reggie McKenzie's good. I mean, I think he's going to be okay, even if he's not the top corner of the draft. But I think if he's a solid pro and he stays with the Raiders for the next, you know, 7 to 10 years, I think he's somebody that we're going to look back at and say, hey, Reggie took that chance. He got it done. And if they win the championship in Oakland or Las Vegas and Connolly's one of the best players on the team, we're going to look back and say, hey, that was a great pick by Reggie McKenzie. But, you know, obviously we have to see what's going to materialize in the next couple of years.
Right. And I think the NFL draft in general is a crapshoot. So the Raiders rolled the dice. We'll see just how this plays out, no doubt about it. But it's an interesting storyline nonetheless. Another interesting storyline, Brian, that we can talk about here, the Denver Broncos bringing in Jamal Charles. You and I had talked at the beginning of free agency, and I thought a perfect spot for Jamal Charles would be Pittsburgh because I thought he could spell Le'Veon Bell. He cannot be a featured back. I don't believe his knees have that ability for him to take 25 to 30 carries a game. Instead, he chooses Denver. And it's a similar situation in my mind. He doesn't spell C.J. Anderson. He doesn't spell Devontae Booker. But now the Denver Broncos have made a move in that AFC West where they will alleviate some of the pressure off their downright mediocre quarterback situation by bringing in Jamal Charles.
Yeah, definitely. And Jamal, if healthy, he's one of the best, you know, pass-catching backs out of the backfield. I think he's going to be a third-down back for them. You know, I think that's the role that can suit him well in Denver, and I think that's what they're looking for, you know, at the Broncos. I think Mike McCoy is going to use him pretty well, and I feel like, you know, Jamal in the AFC West, he knows the teams in the division. He knows the Chiefs, knows the Raiders, knows the Chargers, playing for the Broncos now, so I feel like he's going to be okay there. But, you know, at the end of the day, I think that was the most lucrative offer that he received, and I think Denver was waiting until after the draft to get somebody like that because, you know, you get a cheap replacement in the draft, a cheap third down back in the draft, and that's something that the Broncos looked at, and they got Jamal Charles out of it, a 29-year-old back that I think has a couple, like a year or two left in the tank. I wouldn't say Jamal's just about done, but, you know, he's not the same guy that he used to be, obviously.
Between now and the start of the preseason, I know that's a ways off. We're talking about 3 months, but what's the best storyline to follow, Brian, in the NFL?
Well, one of the ones that I personally have been looking at is how is Jared Goff going to look in the minicamp, at the start of OTAs, you know, at the start of training camp? How is he going to look between now and then? Because, you know, obviously last year people weren't too, you know, thrilled with how he looked on the field, but I wonder how he's going to look under Sean McVay. That's something you got to look at, because what the Rams did this year, they gave up the fifth pick in the draft to the Titans for his services. So, you know, the microscope is going to be on him, and obviously the Jacksonville Jaguars as well. Blake Bortles, is he going to be a guy that's going to be remembered as a top three pick that was, you know, a complete bust? And in the Jamarcus Russell, Ryan Leaf, way of thinking, or is he going to be a guy that can rebound and make something good out of his career? That's something that I personally have been looking at, because I know a thing or two about bad quarterbacks, Jordan, and I think that, you know, Jared, I have some hope for, and I feel like I think it was more about his the people around him, the team around him, and the play calling. I think that had something to do more with his lack of production. But Blake has had it all, and I feel if he can't get anything done, especially with Leonard Fournette now, I think his career is just about done, and he's going to be a prominent backup in the NFL.
Well, I can talk about Jared Goff here for a moment, because don't forget, he's a Jeff Fisher guy. Jeff Fisher is no longer there. I think another bad season or poor production from what the Rams have brought in, and Les Snead could be on his way out. Now, I'm not saying it's going to happen, but if Jared Goff is absolutely horrible in year two, and Les Snead does in fact lose his job, there's no ties between Jared Goff and Sean McVay. And next year's draft class is projected to be quite heavy in the quarterback situation, and the Rams would be able to move on from Jared Goff. I don't think they would have a problem doing that, knowing that a new regime is in. I think this is a crucial year for Goff. I like that storyline as well.
I do too. And a guy that everybody around the league and everybody's talking about is Sam Darnold, that he's going to be the next Andrew Luck or the next great quarterback that's going to come out of the draft, the next John Elway. That's what they're saying now about this kid. He's going to be up next year, so we got to see how these teams are going to position themselves to draft a guy like that.
I think you got two L.A. kids. You can't forget about Josh Rosen as well out of UCLA. I think both of them are going to be very good NFL quarterbacks. They have the skill set for it.
Oh, most definitely. I forgot about Josh because, you know, right now Sam Darnold's the talk of the town.
Right. Absolutely. Brian, it's always great to get you on and talk some NFL football. I appreciate you taking out some time in your busy schedule. Always fun. Thank you.
Always fun, buddy. You have a good one. We'll talk soon.
Absolutely. We're going to take a break for just a moment. We do have some more Drive Time Sports coming up right after this.